thank you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He alone. I know I start every day with this, but it's true. He alone is worthy of our worship. He alone is worthy of us coming together to do this broadcast. He alone deserves our worship. And so, Kevin, we're still here. We're still going at it. How's things going, brother?
Things are going well. I have no complaints. You know, I was listening to the podcast today about the cross.
Me too, yeah.
And all of a sudden, all my problems just about evaporated.
Yeah, I was listening and reading that doctor, I guess his name is Travis Davis or something like that. And boy, whew, man, that was messing me up. I had tears running down my face.
Yeah,
and,
me too. I had to do some praying.
Oh, boy, just knowing what the Lord went through for us. And folks, we continue on with a verse-by-verse exegetical study of the life of Christ. We're still in the book of John. We're finishing up John chapter 20 today. Yay. And as we move forward, we're not trying to go fast here. We're trying just to move along and just cover everything we can. We told you we're leaving here. We're going to go over to the Olivet Discourse over there in the book of Matthew. We're going to look at that. We're going to continue to look at sign miracles, look at names of Christ. We're going to look at all those things we missed in John, but they're covered in the synoptics. We're going to go back in the beginning. You know, Christ was there when everything was created, and I'm just having a blast. I'm just so thankful that you guys would tune us in and be part of that. And, you know, the last time I looked at Appalachia, we got people in Nepal, people all over the world listening to us. We want to shout out to our military people listening on American Forces Network. Hey, we love you guys. We love all you guys and gals out there that are listening. We're 100% behind you. We're praying for you. You missionaries that are out there around the world that tune us in, you're doing God's work. We love you guys. Just hang in there. So as we continue on, so we're starting today with the word belief, and we're going to see that in John chapter 20. And in just a minute, in John 20:29, it says, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You know, that's me. I haven't seen Christ in the flesh. Neither has Kevin, neither has any of us listening to us, but we believed. We were all in. And boy, I tell you, we talked about doubt. We talked about doubt yesterday. We've talked about a mission focus. We've talked about peace this week. But boy, I'll tell you, belief is what it's all about when you believe. And, you know, over in John 14, I love preaching out of the book of John. I love preaching John 14. Let not your heart be troubled in verse number 1. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then the Bible goes on to tell us in Romans 10, 9 and 10, those great verses, that if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shall be saved. And then we're told why this what this belief is all about. And it says in verse 10 of Romans 10 there, it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Belief changes everything, folks. When think about it at its lowest level, think about, you know, belief in somebody. You believe in them enough to become a good friend, to marry somebody. You believe in them enough to hire them and give them a job. You believe them enough to take a job. But when you believe in Jesus Christ, everything changes, because with the heart he believeth unto righteousness, folks. In the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I think belief, you know, as we build this foundation, Kevin, as we look at the life of Christ, the greatest cornerstone is salvation, a belief in Jesus Christ to provide us with salvation.
Amen. Amen. Belief is the core of Christianity. You know, really any, they would say any faith, right? So faith is belief. But Christianity is based on a God who our sole connection with him right now is belief, whom having not seen, we love. So, you know, and yet having seen not, yet believing, whom having seen not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So that's the difference with Christ-centered Christianity, is we rejoice. The belief causes joy that's from the Holy Spirit. And I'm just so amazed that God has the ability to bubble up in our heart when there's nothing else there. And that's what faith does. Yeah. You know, the opposite is unbelief, and or you know, the unbelief. I kind of group it into two things: disbelief and unbelief. You know, disbelief is like something blindsides you, and you're like, I'm just in disbelief. Unbelief, if you're in unbelief, then you have made a decision. I will not trust you anymore. I will not believe you. And it's terrible what happens in an earthly relationship when someone says, I don't trust you anymore. I don't believe you. Oftentimes it's earned, unfortunately, the unbelief. And But with Jesus Christ, he never earns our unbelief. He only earns people's trust. But like Thomas, we do have this situation where we get blindsided and in the disbelief, I cannot believe what just happened. It takes us to a bad place if we're not careful. I've been there. I've been tempted. You know, Doug, you know that today I went for an MRI.
Yeah.
I drove 7 hours to get there and 7 hours to get here and make some podcasts as well. But primarily it was for this MRI for my shoulder in view of getting some surgery. And I showed up and they said, oh, we just looked at your pre-procedural check-in and evidently you've got some metal in you we didn't know about. And I had told them about the metal when I asked for an MRI. And it was there and they're like, yeah, because you got this metal. And by the way, it was questionable whether the metal would work. I got that with an MRI. But sometimes they let it pass. Long story short, I got there and they're like, nope, we can't do it. And so I left in disbelief, utter disbelief. I said, what? I came here 7 hours and I'm walking out the hospital clinic doors and it's just not going to take place. So I was very tempted to go into a pretty, you know, angry place, pretty upset place, pretty frustrated, then pretty disillusioned, and then dark, because it's like, what is happening? You know, you ask those questions, what is happening? And Thomas had that.
Yeah.
And Thomas, you know, said, if it, you know, I know we're going to read the text in a little bit, but anyway, I'll leave that for a later comment. But the whole idea is, the worst thing is to accuse God of unfaithfulness and because of something we see. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And the Bible does say all things work together for good.
Yeah.
And, brother, I'm crying on the inside while I say this about the MRI, but I will tell you that I know God's got something. God's working it out. There's something. There's some good reason.
There's something better coming. Yeah, there's something. There's a better doctor. There's a better test. There's something better, or maybe, like you say, maybe the blessing is being unblessed today. Not being blessed. And you know, the Bible says over in Mark 9:24 that belief takes you to a different place too. It says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, and help thou mine unbelief. And remember, he healed the child because he believed. And, you know, belief brings you to a different place with your relationship with God. Belief, it steps you up a level. It's that belief that even in the leanest of spiritual times, the leanest of financial times, the leanest of relationship times, even in the leanest of whatever, when you believe, boy, you're in a place where God can take the craziness in your life and bless you. I mean, things can happen to a different level that nobody would ever believe. Elizabeth Elliott, one time, I was with her in Ukraine years ago, and we were actually ministering there, and she ended up in the same church I was in, this huge Baptist church in Kyiv. And while we were there, I got to meet her, and I got to know her pretty well. And at that point, she had had two husbands die. Her first husband, we're very familiar with, died on the mission field, was killed by the Indians. And her second husband came along and she said he taught her grace, he taught her blessings, he taught her so much about the Lord. But then he died of cancer. He was a little bit older. And then her third husband, the greatest guy you ever met, kept on telling me the law of averages is with me. You know, I'm going to make it. But I remember her saying, everything that's happened in my life has led to a greater ministry. Every terrible, nasty, rotten, upside-down, devil-induced craze has turned into a stronger ministry for that than I ever thought I'd ever have. And folks, belief brings you to that place. Belief is the vehicle that will drive you to a ministry you've never had before. Belief is the vehicle that will take you to a place within your marriage, within your family. I mean, people know the difference. Hey, there's something different about her. There's something different about him. And you know, I don't know what it is you're looking for in your life right now, what's next in any type of relationship, but I do know this, the vehicle's belief. And folks, I'm on that journey too. And I know what's next in my life, and I know what I'm praying for, but I know what I believe God for too. And I know when I have that doubt that we talked about yesterday that creeps in, I know when that's there too. And I say, God, forgive my unbelief. God, forgive my unbelief. Take me out of here. I don't want to live here anymore. I want to live somewhere else. And whatsoever you do in deed or in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him, give thanks for what you're doing. Trust God. Give thanks for what he's going to do for you. Hey, folks, we'll be right back with you. We got to let these radio stations do what they're going to do with the broadcast. Hang with us. We'll be right back with you.
Return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
Well, and here we are continuing on with the verse-by-verse study, looking at the life of Christ, growing by that, applying what Christ taught his disciples, what Christ's life looked like here on earth, applying it to our life, applying what Christ has for us now, putting it together so God can do a work in our life so we can be a little different today. And I love where we're at. We're in chapter number 20. We're in verses 28 through 31. I already read you 29 as we got going this morning, talking about that word belief. But it says, "And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him." Now remember, Thomas got to touch the spots, and Thomas immediately came out and he got it right, man. He said, "God, you're my Lord, you're my God, I'm sorry." And then Thomas, "Because thou hast seen me and thou hast believed, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe in that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing that ye might have life through his name." And folks, we're seeing some things going on here. We're seeing Thomas's confession in faith. "You're my Lord, you're my God." How blessed. And Jesus responding, you know, there's blessedness in faith. It's blessed. You've seen me. And folks, we forget the blessings we receive because of our belief. We forget the blessings we receive because of our faith. Sometimes, especially when we get off, you know, I was talking to a man, this was probably 4 or 5 weeks ago, and he said something to me that kind of changed me. It was a great blessing to me. I love talking to missionaries and stuff. This is a missionary, many years on the field. Many of you who listen are that way. But he said something to me. He said, "Doug, I've got to wake up and I've got to count my blessings." And I call it counting my faith in God from the day before. Just from the day before, he says, "I got to count those." And we learn what the purpose of the gospel is. And you know, the purpose of the gospel, it's not the miracles. It's not all these things. It's so that people can accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, just like Thomas, and say, "You're God." And that's the purpose of the scripture. There's eternal life through Jesus, Kevin. That's who we find our eternal life in. That's the purpose of the scripture. That's the purpose of belief. That's the purpose of the gospel.
Isn't it interesting that, Doug, that Jesus gave the purpose of this thing? You know, really, John's the earthly writer, inspired by God, but Jesus said, you know, these are written that you might believe. So we have a purpose. By the way, 1 John, which is the first epistle that's inspired, is recorded, written by the same person, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John's, 1st John's first, and there's a purpose statement written in that. These are written that these things have written unto you to believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So a continuation or growth in belief is the purpose of that. But this is written so that people can get saved, you know, just so that they can believe.
What and, a God we serve.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is it comes right after Thomas's unbelief, Thomas's disbelief and his unbelief. And, you know, this thing of believing despite the worst situation, God lets us go through things, I think, sometimes because God wants to see whether we're going to believe despite difficult things. And I remember years ago, we were planning a church in Texas. Things were going really, really well. And then something happened, you know, just life happened. And I can't remember what it was. Maybe someone left the church plant. We had, I remember a family that just kind of went wonky and haywire and left. But he became a Jew, of all things.
Wow.
But long story short, during that time, I just remember thinking, wait a minute, Lord, it seemed like you had your hand just really on this thing, and your hand was on me. And it's, you know, everywhere I was going, it was prospering. And then all of a sudden, I don't feel that. I don't sense that. What's going on? I remember God said, wait a minute. I want to withdraw my hand a little bit to see if you're going to still follow the path of faith and obedience without me directly influencing, directly directing. And that's part of training. Training is doing it for you and then doing it with you and then backing up and letting the person do it himself. But that joy that comes to God's heart, I think, is fulfilled when he sees his children walking in the truth, when he sees his children walking in and saying, you know what, I'm still going to believe. I don't feel you. I don't see you, but I still believe you. And that's just the way that I think trials and tribulations go is Thomas, you know, was faced with a Savior who he had put trust and faith in disappearing off the scene for several days, letting him down, and him saying, well, I'm not going to believe unless I see it. And he shows up and said, listen, I love you. I'm going to bear with you on this, all right? Here you go. I'm going to show up. I'm going to take you by the shoulders. I'm going to direct you and say, stick your hand in my side. Let's see that, yes, it is real. And so when he saw, he believed. But, you know, I was reading about someone that really exercised faith. His name's Dave Reaver. And I don't know anything about him other than I heard his testimony on a tape years ago. He's in Vietnam. Phosphorus grenade went off in his hand, blew his face off, and he jumped in the water, which was not a good place to go, covered with phosphorus because it made it burn further. But when he jumped in the water, when he came up for air, the people he had been witnessing to, he called them Pervert 1 and Pervert 2, were there by the rail of the gunboat. And he came up out of the water and he said, God, I still believe you. And when the perverts, as he called them, heard that, he said Pervert 1 and Pervert 2 gave their hearts to Jesus on the spot. And as a date of the that sermon preaching, they were still in church. Remember he said that. So we are put through these tests. I haven't had my face blown off yet, but we're faced with this thing, and are we going to say, God, I believe you, or are we going to do the Thomas thing and slap Jesus in the face and say, I don't believe you? And Judas did the ultimate slap in Jesus' face when he said, you know what? Because you betrayed my expectation of you, I'm going to betray you. And yeah, I'd say it, Doug, there's people doing that today. They're turning their back. They're not only denying Christ, they're betraying. They're saying, all right, if it's going to be that way, I'm going to write a book about why I have left Jesus Christ, why I can no longer trust you, and all the people that are influenced by that. You know, the Bible says it's better to have a millstone tied around your neck than to hurt people's faith. So I want, if for no other reason, come up out of the water, and I want my children to know that they have a daddy that still believes God despite the visible things.
Yeah, and you know, you make a very good point, and something I was thinking about as you were talking there about Brother Reaver there. Some, you know, not only does belief, the most important thing, obviously, belief in Christ gives us eternal life. Most important thing. But so many of us forget that belief gives us an abundant life as well. You know, exactly. It's overwhelming the blessings that God can give us. And it's at a point where Brother Reaver hopped up out of the water with his face, the phosphorus burning his face off, his skin falling apart, and say, I still believe in you, God. I still believe. And there's a Christian movie about a guy who was a musician at a college. And I think the name of the movie is called I Still Believe. And his wife died of this terrible cancer. But it chronicles his life. They had a baby, and God gave him another wife and all those things. But I was thinking, you know, we miss the point of abundance. And as Christians, we always miss the point of abundance. We're abundantly blessed to be able to open the Word of God. Our belief abundant. We're overwhelmingly blessed to be able to hear preaching at our church, to be brothers and sisters in Christ, to experience the blessings of a church membership. We're abundantly blessed to be able to live a life that's cleaned, that's cleansed. And some of us came from some pretty dirty, nasty places. And here's God, you know, giving us this everlasting life, but also giving us an abundance of his blessings, of taking away all that and cleaning us as just as white as snow and scrubbing us down and standing us back up. And folks, I know here we are, we're looking at the crucifixion of Christ. We're looking at the post-crucifixion and the post-resurrection. And what's Christ dealing with? Peace. What an abundance of peace he gives. What's Christ dealing with? Being able to help our fellow man and share the gospel and share other things and being able to enjoy the abundance of a life with Jesus Christ. Today, folks, remember, your life is filled with abundance. We're so honored to be able to do this broadcast with you. We love you, folks. Make sure you come on back tomorrow. May God bless you. We start in chapter 21.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.